Blog Talk Radio.
My Lord, peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. I have to do it. How are y'all doing? How are y'all doing? Don't it feel good for it to be Friday? You know what? Friday can actually be dangerous. I'm going to tell you why. Because during the course of the week, you're basically going back and forth to work. You come home, you chill out. Saturday is the day that you may not have very much to do. So it's the day that you go and you do the norm. Spend money, hang out, do something that you feel like you deserve to do so that you can tell yourself you are rewarding yourself because you work so hard. So here it is, you spend money, you're hanging out, you're chilling out, yes, oh man. And then Monday, you look and see that you spent a little bit too much money and you're hoping that you have enough to last you until the next payday, which is why we have now payday loans. Isn't that amazing? Somebody figured out that because we don't handle our money correctly, we need to come up with these payday loans because we don't have to charge a lot, but we can make it so that we don't have to pay rent either if enough people come and get loans from us. Isn't that amazing? I was talking to a friend of mine at a place, and she said that just from the payday loans, there's no rent has to be paid, and the salaries are being paid as well as the utility. Isn't that amazing? Just off the loans, not off of people cashing their checks, not off of money orders and things like that, just off of the payday loans, because we are mismanaging our money so badly until we are thankful that people have to come and get these payday loans. I had to share that with you because of the fact that as I was talking to this young lady, I was amazed at how much money is being made off of people who don't have any money. As a matter of fact, she told me that their office alone, and their boss owns seven of them, their office alone, their check cashing place alone, makes approximately $30,000 just off of payday loans. Isn't that amazing? Wow. But what can we do? Other than the fact to say, Father God, you know what? You know what I deserve? I deserve to have a church to go to so that I can pray and thank you for giving me the energy to work Monday through Friday or whatever, Saturday through Thursday, whatever it is, Tuesday through Saturday. Father God, thank you. And I want to take some of this money that I have been given by you. And I'm not fooled that I earned it alone. Yes, I went to work to earn it. But if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have had the ability to even get it. So I'm going to take 10% of this money, and I'm literally going to do something to help somebody. That's how I'm going to celebrate. Yes, I'm going to take some time from time to time to go to dinner and go out with my friends and things of that nature. But as a matter of fact, I'm going to actually look and say, okay, I'm only spending this amount for this weekend because, Father God, I don't need to spend a whole lot of money to do what? To be broke, to make somebody else rich because I'm broke. So just a thought, you know, just a thought. Anyway, my beloved brothers and sisters, my father told me to tell you that he loves you so much. That along with the fact he asked me to start in John 3:16. Yeah, I know, it's the verse mostly everybody knows. But he asked me to share that with you, and we're going to stay in 316 in various locations, and I call them addresses and blocks. So bear with me. Allow me to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I love you. I am so with joy because of you. And I ask you to use me according to your ways so that, Heavenly Father, I decrease, you increase. Let the words that come out of my mouth touch the hearts that literally be open so that such words, oh, Father God, can be accepted. And I ask you in the name of Jesus to touch everyone's family. Touch us, Father God. We need you. We need you so badly at this specific time until we are asking you to please come. We're asking you, Father God, please come. We're seeking you, Father God, and we're knocking at the door so that, Heavenly Father, you may open it. I pray, Father God, that we do that diligently and we don't stop until you open the door, until we see you, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I say amen. You know, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believe in him shall not perish, but have. Now 17, which is the one I love so desperately as well, is that God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, if you go to John 10:34, you're going to see where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to various people at this particular time, but also to the Pharisees. And he's letting them know, isn't it written in your law that I said that you are gods? And when I look at that, I concentrate on, shouldn't we do the exact what God does? Which means, should we not be there to help someone get saved? Shouldn't we be the type of people who look and literally say that we want our whoever, even our enemy, to have the ability to just simply look and say that I've never saw love look like this in my life? That somebody came and I sinned against them. I hurt them. I took from them. I kicked them up. I kicked them to the curb. I did everything that would cause a person literally to say that nobody cares about me. Don't nobody want nothing really to do with me. I feel alone. I feel this loneliness. I'm just out of the. But as opposed to them showing any of those attributes, what they did was they loved me to the point to where I come to the degree of understanding that Jesus is strong in their life all the way to the point to where I saw God. I felt God. And through that, I want to be saved. Through that, I want to change. Through that, I want to have that which says that I'm no longer on the enemy side, but on the side that allowed me to know that salvation is the greatest gift that has ever been offered to me. I should do me a favor. Turn your Bibles also to Acts. Same thing, 3:16. Acts 3:16. Just check this out. See how good God is. And his name, now here's his capital, so we're talking about Jesus. And his name, through faith in his name, has made his man strong. Check this out. Let's finish it. Which comes through him, Lord have mercy, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I got to be honest with you. It feels so good to know that God can work so strong in our life until even if somebody comes along and provide that which causes harm take from us, kick us to the curb, don't care about you, you're nothing. We still allow ourselves to have a soundness because we come to the understanding that God said otherwise. That God has made it so that you can get to a point of saying you are somebody. That you are my child. That I love you. You don't have to listen to them. I love you. And with that, you can have a perfect peace, a sound mind. You can enjoy the goodness of what God has specifically for you, as opposed to listening to what man has for you, what man thinks about you, what man can do to you. Oh, my Father God, thank you. And you know why you can think that? You know why you can feel that? You know why that's a reality? It's because it is. It really is. You are so much a part of God until you should be able to see as God does, allowing the Holy Spirit to be your eyes. Because when you do, now go to Romans 3:16. This is what you get to see. This is Romans 3:16. Thank you, Father God. Destruction and misery are in their hearts. That's 3:17 too. And the way of peace they have not known. 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't know any better. They don't care. You understand that. You begin to get to a point in your life and you say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're not sinning against me, although it was me that they took it out on. They're sinning against God. Why? Because of the fact that they're so lost. They've gone through so much in their lives. Pain causes pain. So, Father God, thank you for giving me the ability to look and see that I no longer am pain. I am no longer suffer. I am no longer the things that caused me to go out and hurt anybody. Now I'm like you, Father God. I literally can take it, and then I can give them a fresh, cool drink of water. I can take it. I literally can give them fresh air so that they can breathe. I can take it. I am that which causes them to have shade in the hot sun. I can take it. And the reason why is because of the fact that I have a Jesus that caused me to understand I am somebody in the kingdom. I am somebody who God has delivered. I'm somebody. Why? I believe. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I know that I am somebody. So we got to look. Paul, he's so amazing. Apostle Paul was just so beautiful. Apostle Paul just caused all of us to think. He caused me to think. You know why? Because he has a tendency of asking questions and answering the questions, which leads me to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Check this out. Just listen to this for a second. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? It's because, Spirit of God, that you are able to look at everybody and say, wait a minute, this is, you're not taking this out on me. You're not specifically wanting to hurt me. You are in pain, so you got to inflict what you are. Oh, my God. I'm the church that you need to come to. That's why Jesus said, if somebody smacked you in the face, turn the other cheek. Why? It's because if you have to inflict your pain on me, so let it be. Because it may be through me, because of Jesus, looks like, that you'll be able to say, wait a minute, the church is not a building. No, Father God, this person is the church. I tried to hurt them. I needed to inflict my pain on them. I needed to do something. I did whatever I could. But this person remained a church. And even if the person had to run away from me, even if the person had to get away from me, even if the person had to do what was called tough love, I never saw them sin. I seen them to remain the church. But now, check this out. Let's see what Paul said about, well, check this out. Let's go to 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? You can become your own worst enemy. You, by that, or somebody doing something wrong to you, can cause you to get to a point to where you defile you by thinking negative, wanting to get even, by being prideful, allowing ignorance to catch up with you, allowing whatever Satan loves for you to do. For somebody, either you're going to be a temple of God or you're going to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, by my apology, of which is the Holy Spirit of God, which is of the Holy Spirit, or you're going to be a temple of Satan. Somebody is going to cause you to find out who you belong to. Somebody is going to cause you to find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Who do you stand? Literally. Okay. I was in a Bible study Wednesday, right? We had got there late, and I'm really strong on paying tithes. It is a necessity, paying your tithes and your offering, because you got to understand you're not giving your money to man. You're giving your money to God. Regardless of what man does with what is given, that's on that person. But the reality of you giving your money to God should be strictly that. I also tell people, and I'm very strong on this, if you don't want to give your money to the church because the church is not doing what they're supposed to do, give your money to somebody who's going to use it. But now, I got to be honest with you, you would really be cheating yourself, because if you're giving your money because of the fact that you want to see something good happen to it, you're not particularly giving it for God because you want to see satisfaction from it. You're cheating yourself. You'll give it because you're supposed to give it. But if you choose to see something beneficial happen because of it, because you're giving what you call your hard-earned money, then okay. But I would say to God, Father God, please forgive me, because I do want to see your money be used for, it's like a borderline, dude. It's me, I say, I use it both ways. I'm going to give it to the church because keep the church going. I'm going to give it to people, not because of my wanting to see satisfaction, but because it's my responsibility to the reality that I am to love my neighbor as I would want to be loved. So if I was standing on the corner and felt like I needed to put my hand out so somebody can give me something, I would want somebody to take care of that for me, to look out for me, to care. Because the reality of loving your neighbor as you would want to be loved is wanting for your neighbor that which you would want for yourself. So, God pays attention to everything we do. Okay, do me a favor, please. Because we're just hanging out with 316. We're just hanging out, okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:16. This is when Paul says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That's why we have the ability to look and say, you know what, wait a minute, hold up. I understand that this person hurt me. I understand this. But now I can see why. I understand it now. Why? Because when I turned to the Lord, like Paul, if you remember, a veil was over his eyes for 3 days. And then Jesus sent, what a mighty God we had, we served. And then Paul was able to see the errors of his ways. He come to understand that of all the people that I persecuted, that I killed, I'm the worst of them. Why? Because they was just serving the Lord. And I was serving man, though I thought I was serving God. What is my point? When you understand how much of a sinner you have been to God, you don't allow yourself to have the audacity to judge those who sinned against you. Because you're looking and saying, Father God, if I was to count the things that I did to you, then I have no right to look at the person who at this moment, whether family, friend, or foe, and think that better than them, that I need to get even, that I need to anything. Father God, just use me according to your way so that I can bring this person to Jesus so that Jesus can cause this person to look at their ways, the errors of their ways, to have the ability to simply say, I now see the light too. The veil has been taken off of me. I now have the ability to just say, wow. I remember this day so distinctly, March 14th. Baby. I mean, like a baby. Why? Because when I looked at just a portion of the things that I did in life and come to the realization that I was doing it to Christ, to my Father, who formed me in the womb of my mother, not the semen, but God. I cried for days because I couldn't even fathom. Father, all that stuff I did to you, oh, how dare me even look at another person because they did something to me and say, I got to get back at you. I got to, ooh, no. Why? Because God sent his son to save me years before I was formed into the belly of my mama. Years. But he loved me so much, the way of escape, so that death be that which I don't have to deal with. That's love. So why would I not want the same thing for somebody who is sinning against me? Which is actually against God, but I'm feeling the butt of it. I'm feeling the effects of it. Why would I not want that? Okay. Just a thought. Just a thought. Just think about that for a second. Okay. Now, let's go over Galatians. Let's see what Galatians say. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham, his seed were promises made. He does not say, and to seeds. Talking about Jesus, okay? As of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Okay. I don't know about much of anything that's going on down here. I know the streets fairly well. I know how to make money. I know how to survive. I know how to do many things. But the one thing that I know more than anything is that Jesus is the ultimate promise. So with that promise, what is it more important that will cause me to come off of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me? What would I want to do that would cause me to say, I'm going to forsake Jesus, get into my own understanding, and cause me to get to a point that I'm going to do that which is opposite of what Abraham did? Because by his faith, he became the father of faith. And that's what we're supposed to have. End up becoming rich because of his faith. If we follow in the same faith. Abraham had his nephew Lot. His nephew Lot, herdsmen, and Abraham, herdsmen, started fighting one another. They was growing their profits, their animals was growing with so much. They had so much until they had to fight for simple as water. Abraham, who obviously much more stronger than Lot, as opposed to him pushing up on him and saying, first thing is, I'm your uncle. Daylight's out of you. You came with me. He said to him, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You see, when you are secure, when you're secure in the reality that you have something great coming to you, you allow the soundness of your mind to just flow with ease because you come to the reality that peace is in Jesus so that you can say, it's going to be okay today. It's going to be okay today. Hey, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. Because the reality of my loving God is that I'm a church. I'm no longer a dumping ground. I'm no longer a garbage can. I'm no longer trash because of the blood that caused me to become something so important in the eyes of God until he literally uses me so that I can cause Satan to know that he's trash and he can't even use the people that he would try to use to cause me to stumble. As opposed to that, I love him to the degree that my love covers a multitude of sin because my father, that his son blood can cover me, a sinner. And God bless y'all. I love y'all so much. Take care of yourselves.